Support for the Sound Ideas podcast comes from GLT listeners. Join the community of news consumers who listen to Sound Ideas and are also willing to support it financially. Learn more about listener-supported radio and GLT at WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. As we approach the end of the year, GLT is looking back on some of the notable stories and interviews from 2018. Today, it's a musical chapter of Sound Ideas, courtesy of John Norton and his coverage of the Bloomington Normal music scene. Something Brothers guitarist Edwin Pierce says it was surprisingly easy for band members to create and record new music together after a nearly 30-year studio hiatus and missing a key band member. A reunion performance by the legendary Bloomington Normal Band has now morphed into the group's first album since the early 1990s. The 10-song Apollo was released in June. Group members Edwin Pierce and Scott Wilson review the album with John Norton in the GLT studio. Pierce says it was like getting back on a bicycle.
Yeah, I mean, it comes naturally to us. I mean, honestly, it really, if we got one gift, is we're able to, you just see it. You just hear it and you go, that's it. And I don't know why, but there's some kind of an intuitive thing that we have.
It was pretty spooky, actually, like when we first got into the practice rehearsal space and started flushing out these songs. It just was so weird how it just felt like it hadn't been 30 years. It seemed like we were just in the studio together 5 months ago.
So, yeah, for instance, a lot of my things, because I've been playing bass guitar a lot, came in as bass demos. Tommy's didn't come in as electric guitar stuff. He came as an acoustic. I'd listen to his thing as an acoustic, and I'm going, I'm not so quite seeing the vision quite yet. And then Scott would go put the lyric to it, and then we'd get the electric guitars on, and all of a sudden it went from a nice kind of acoustic song to one hell of a rock song. So,
well, can you give me an example of one song? Can you think of one
Yucca
song?
Yucca Flat was
Yucca
one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like an acoustic.
You know, the riff was on acoustic. Everything was on acoustic. And then when it came out to actually flushing it out, it turned out to be a rip-roaring, you know, rock your head off song, which I was shocked, actually. But I was really happy.
Set me up.
Yucca Flat is from the new album Apollo by the Something Brothers, their first album in nearly 30 years. But this album, as well as the reunion show last year, was minus one of your key members, Dean Carlson. As you said in a Bandcamp post, fell off the metaphorical van. He's no longer with the band. And my understanding is he is still welcome in the band if he's willing to come back. But let's talk about Dean. Was an integral part of the band. He was up front with Scott as the vocalist. He was with Scott, the primary lyrical writers in the band. How much of an adjustment was it to not have Dean a part of this new album, Apollo?
Adjusting wasn't really actually that difficult. It was unfortunate. He decided he didn't want to do it. We looked at each other and said, well, do we want to do it? We took the leap. We did it. And now we're here. When you look at each other in the eye and say, do you really want to do this? And everyone's kind of saying, yeah, I kind of want to do this, then it's a lot easier than having a bunch of people just saying, no, I don't want to do it, or maybe. There was no maybe. It was like, yeah, I want to do this. Yes, I want to do this. So we had five people saying, yes, I want to do this. What do? You go forward.
So maybe the question is for you then, Scott, because you guys played off each other, both lyrically and out front. Was it a difficult transition for you to be the front guy? And the
live,
it's
a little weird. In the writing and the studio work, I did what I would normally do. We've only played the one show without him. And Dean and I had kind of a Martin and Lewis kind of thing going, and they both went on to do their own things. But it was one of them deals where, like the humor aspect, Dean was a lot of fun to watch live. Maybe I'm not as energetic on stage as Dean used to be, but, you know, it's a different band, it's a different sound, it's a different thing. We can't really look back and go, what can we do to make this seem more like the old version of this band, when it's not the old version of this band anymore.
Well, Well, let's talk about the concept itself. The name of the album is Apollo, and there are numerous references to space, looking down from space, spaceships, right? Earthbound is another one. I mean, there's just all these...
It was weird that way. It's pretty accidental, to tell you.
It was. And let's play the... let me be part of Fuzzle, which opens up...
That's the one I was going to
make. Yeah, man.
Ed had written this demo. His working title was Fuzzle. I always like to use someone's working title as potential lyric jumping off points. And I was asking him what Fuzzle meant. He goes, I have no idea. I was thinking it was just a silly made up word. And I was thinking about how children make silly made up words. And all of a sudden I started thinking about old toys. And my favorite toy of all time was the G.I. Joe space capsule, the Gemini space capsule, you know, that I got for Christmas in 1966 and just went crazy over the thing. And I thought, I'm going to write a song about this space capsule toy, and then it just naturally turned into referencing other toys in it. And so it's kind of like a song about a kid's version of what it might be like to be in space. He's, you know, he's referencing the
Etch-a-sketch.
The Etch-a-sketch and a spirograph and a kaleidoscope and all these things, because he couldn't think of what to call this thing in the capsule that made the retro rockets fire. He goes, oh, I'll just call it an Etch-a-sketch. And so it's kind of just about this kid, a child in space.
You want to hear something dorky?
Absolutely.
My imagination is that you guys are rock gods, right? And you've been off the scene for 30 years or so, and this is your re-entry into the music scene.
Yeah. They're just as good as anything.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, and as some of the other songs started almost accidentally having these references, we thought, well, let's just kind of go with that. There probably was a few other songs that I thought, okay, well, let's do another one with some kind of space theme, and then I wrote Apollo.
I think Scott actually captured probably his best vocal ever, and I think it's on Apollo. Every time I hear that, I really listen to his voice and just go like, holy crap, this is Scott at his top of his game. When's the mission to Mars? I steal a ride in a baggage car. I'll be out of my brain on the 550. That vocal just comes off sincere. It just sounds sweet. I was like, wow.
I quit smoking, too. Which might have something to do.
When did the smoking quit?
That's pretty recent.
I'd gone about 6 or 7 months, like before we made the record, because I knew that would probably be a really good time to maybe get these old lungs in shape.
Scott Lee Wilson, Edwin Pierce of the Something Brothers in studio. This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. Great new album. It's called Apollo. It is out. They're going to be featuring songs at their performance in September at the Castle Theater, but that's still a couple of months off as we're speaking here.
September 7th.
Okay. Love Lens. Is that an older song?
It is, yeah. We started playing that one toward
the very end. But
maybe like in 1990.
It's that old.
Yeah, it's a little different than it used to be.
Okay.
We kind of rethought some of the lyrics and we rethought just the feel of the song.
Let me play just a snippet of it then here.
I should have known I was bound to die alone. The
What's different now to what it was before?
Well, actually, some of the, I don't want to say effects, but the synthesizer type of thing where we didn't touch anything like that in the past.
Yeah, so Tommy was using a...
Yeah, he's using a Mellotron pedal, and we messed around with some studio keyboard type stuff.
Yeah, Eric Nelson, who recorded the record.
Yeah, props to Eric.
Genius.
Yeah.
Anybody out there that's going to be making a record locally, talk to Eric Nelson at Eclipse Studios. Yeah, this guy.
He really was a key bounce off.
He had about as much to do with the final sound of this record than we did. I mean, he was constantly coming up with ideas. How about if we add this? How about if we do this? How about you change that melody a little bit?
He had some keyboards
to that song and changed the lyrics from being a positive love song to a negative love song.
Well, that's it. It's very bittersweet.
Yeah, it's
beautiful
used to end
and heartbreaking.
With the guy landing in someone's arms, and then the new version, she lets him fall to the rock.
Why'd you do it that way?
I'm just a bitter old guy.
Well, this is great. Something Brothers fans so geeked about this, and I'm one of them. Great album. Thanks for doing this.
John,
thanks for doing the album.
Thanks for coming in. And if you're listening in your car, thanks for the ride. So
Earthbound is from the new album Apollo from the reunited The Something Brothers. Band members Scott Wilson and Edwin Pierce joined John Norton in the GLT studios.
Support for GLT comes from Safeco, offering competitive rates for home equity lines of credit. Borrowers get personalized service without the hidden fees or early payoff penalties. Plus, Safeco even covers closing costs for qualified members. Information at safeco.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker, and we're listening to A Year in Music of Bloomington Normal. Bloomington musician Edward David Anderson recorded his new album Chasing Butterflies in the musically fertile Muscle Shoals, Alabama area. He tells John Norton he wanted to use musicians from that region to organically build and arrange his newly written songs.
What I heard was not necessarily that they weren't complex musically, but it seemed like a laid-back, kind of simple idea with a lot of the album, harmony.
Yeah.
Dog Days.
Sure.
Best Part of Me.
Yeah.
You know, just like, oh man, a feel good, happy go lucky. You seemed in one of the songs in harmony. Let me play just a little bit of this,
sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
She's been singing songs with her mama since the age of 3. She learned to sing the high part sitting there on mama's knee.
And maybe I'm overthinking it, but you know, in our divided political, you know, it's so polarizing.
Yeah.
Was that part of what you were getting at with this?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, it was a weird thing. The song itself kind of came out of, my wife and I were watching a documentary on June Carter and the Carter family.
Mm.
And that first line in that tune is this beautiful thing when two people sing in harmony. She's been singing songs with her mama since the age of 3. That was singing about June Carter. But I started thinking on it, I guess from a little bit different of an angle, and started thinking about things being in harmony that maybe necessarily wasn't two human voices, but what about colors on a canvas, or what about human beings living in harmony, you know? And so I started thinking on a little bit bigger of a scale, and yeah, but definitely that's where that song comes from. I just was talking to another gentleman last week about the song and the political landscape, and he was asking me, like, I don't think he was baiting me, but it was starting to go in that direction. And I was like, I kind of feel like, you know, I say what I want to say through the songs on this record. I don't need to make some grandiose political statement and start some controversy. It's like, you want to know how I feel? Listen to these songs. And that's this song specifically is exactly how I feel about all this.
Wilderness, it may be empty, but their hearts are full of love for one another and a partnership. It's a beautiful life he's lived with his wife in harmony.
We're listening to music from the new album by Edward David Anderson. The album is called Chasing Butterflies. The song is called Harmony. This is GLT's Sound Ideas. Let's get to the title track, Chasing Butterflies.
Yeah.
You have moved all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You were in Backyard Tire Fire.
Yep.
20 years ago, you guys founded that. You go back and forth between Alabama and Bloomington Normal and where you live, and now you're touring as Edward David Anderson. You're not home a whole lot, are you?
When I'm working, I'm not, that's for sure. I mean, like, this summer's been a little bit more chill for us in that we had set aside a bunch of time to go hiking on Appalachian Trail. But yeah, I mean, when it's time to work, I'm ready to go. I mean, you kind of have to, and I'd much rather have something to do than nothing to do.
I was never one to follow. I was never one to fear. Keep good time to the beat of my own drum. Ain't allowed in Texas. I smoke cigarettes for breakfast. Feels like half my life's been on the run.
This song isn't about me, though.
Well, you're referencing home, though.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
No, well, maybe the...
It could be a little
bit. The chorus
bit.
Is definitely, I can feel a little bit of that in the chorus big time, but all the verses are about a friend of mine, an older gentleman who's lived a very interesting life, a songwriter guy that I know.
Goes right back to what my daddy did. Home is a memory, and I don't know where it ends.
But you've been a gypsy for a long time as well.
Sure, yeah. I've never been hooked on heroin, luckily. Knock on wood here, but I mean, like,
I was looking at the lyrics going, no, I don't think so.
He's had a hell of a life. I mean, he's been married 5 times. Mm. He's been in and out of jail.
Why did you want to write about him?
He and I played music together for a couple of years, and he told me a ton of stories. And I could kind of just like sense when he was telling me stories that they were going to become a song at some point. You know, sometimes you can kind of just tell like when songs are going to, where they're going to come from. And it took a couple of years, and then we were shooting a video for the song Firefly, and my wife was shooting it on camera, and she was trying to capture an image of a butterfly landing on a wildflower out in the middle of nowhere in Saybrook. And it was windy, and we were out on the prairie, and she couldn't get the shot. And I said, we're out here chasing butterflies in the wind. This is ridiculous. And then I was like, that's a song. Uh-huh. Like, that's a song. And it's not only a song, it's a metaphor for my friend's life. And really, to a degree, I think everybody. I mean, we're all sort of trying to chase, or, you know, going after something. I don't even know that we all know what it is. You know, it's just this constant kind of, like, search. And I feel like everybody's kind of out there trying to grab that, you know, grab that elusive.
Well, let's grab that then. That's a great idea. Chasing Butterflies, a title track from Edward David Anderson's new album. What are you chasing? You're kind of hinting you don't really
know anymore.
But as you continue down this path as a singer, songwriter, musician, does it help you find what you think you might be looking for?
I don't know. I think so. I think that the music and the songs, like, I need that to get through everything. Like, I don't know what I would do with everything if I didn't write it all out and put it into melody and song, like, get the emotion out. Like, so I think it's definitely like a kind of a cathartic, therapeutic thing. I don't want to say that it's a selfish thing, but it kind of is. I mean, I want people to like my songs, but ultimately I write my songs because I feel like I need to. And if people dig them, that's great. If they don't, that's fine too.
I said home is a mystery. No, I don't know where it ends or it begins. It's far, but still close to me. It's like chasing butterflies in the wind.
Edward David Anderson, GLT Sound Ideas. Let's get to one of the darker songs.
Okay.
Lemuel Penn.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Colonel Penn, two good men, drove off into the Georgia night. They were heroes from the war, but it was 1964, so they were looking to stay out of sight. Unbeknownst to them, three bad men were out late and driving around. Saw the out-of-state tag and the driver was black, so they filed him right out of town.
This is a tough song to listen to. I didn't know anything about Lemuel Penn, and so I had to look him up, and he was a real person. I thought maybe it was a fictional character.
No, that really happened.
Why did you want to write about Lemuel Penn?
I don't know. It was one of those things where I just came upon it, that story, and I had never heard it, you know, like most people, and I was just angry and, like, sad, and I don't know. It wasn't like I set out to write that song. It just kind of just, this song just kind of came out. And is it my place to tell that story? I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got family out there. I don't even know. I still kind of, it was a hard song to write. Not a hard song to write in that it just flew right, just kind of flowed right out of me. But I was wondering, is it really my place to tell this story? And I don't know. Ultimately, I decided that it was. I mean, I'm just basically giving facts, you know, like, this is what really happened. It's appalling. It's beyond nauseating.
You couldn't have timed it this way because you recorded this.
I wrote the song a couple of years ago. So,
right,
yeah.
But as it's being released, the Chicago police officer, Jason Van Dyke, was just convicted of murder on Laquan McDonald in Chicago, and there's some parallels 50 years apart on
there
this
really
one.
Is. I think that was probably part of it, is that just struck me as that it's still happening today. Unarmed young black men are still being gunned down. I want people to know who this guy was, and that he was a great man, and he was a good man, and was just senselessly murdered for no reason.
Lemuel Penn was a good man, and somebody's kin. Lemuel Penn was a good man, and he died because of his own sin. Lemuel Penn was a good man, and somebody's.
Lemuel Penn is the name of the song. It's on Chasing Butterflies from Edward David Anderson. This is GLT Sound Ideas. Let's go to a lighter song.
Yes.
Dog Days.
Yeah.
I mean, it has that one line I mentioned, but it's just you and your dog.
Yeah.
Is this you and your dog?
Yeah.
Or any dog?
It's me and him. Well, it's really for anybody.
Well, what's your dog's name?
His name is Ernie, but he has several names. Lately, or for the last few years, he's just been called Bobby.
As I watched him lay there dreaming, he was clearly on the run, chasing rabbits and asleeping in the sun. Unaware of any weeping or all that's come undone, he sleeps soundly just laying in the sun. That's my dog, and he's sleeping like a log. As I stand here in this fog.
What kind of dog is he?
He's a little mutt, you know. He was a street dog in Elgin that we took in, and a friend of ours had kind of gave Kim a call when I was on the road, and she's like, I got this little stray, and I think he'd be great for you. She knew that we had lost our golden a few months before that, and I wasn't even around. I basically came home, and he was there, and I was like, okay, well, he didn't really get me in the beginning because he was more into her, and now we're like full-on buddies, but he's like 10 now. But he's like a Chihuahua, pug, terrier, maybe even a little pit, total mutt, you know, just a little guy.
Just like my dog, when he's sleeping like a log. As I stumble through this fog, he don't mind the smog. Some days I'd like to be him, that's my dog.
You travel back and forth between Illinois and Alabama, where you live. You've traveled all over the country, as we talked about before, for decades now. You see all kinds of people all over the country. What do we have in common?
Music. I think that that's the most universal language there is.
This is what I'm getting at, is what is the commonality among these people? We have red versus blue. We have the coast versus the heartland. And all these people think, oh, they're different than me. I'm different from them. Are they?
From an ideological standpoint, yes. But ultimately, I think everybody wants the same thing for their families and their children and... You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we're a lot more alike than we are different. Clearly with music, I mean, God, I mean, everybody likes music. You know, I don't really know very many people that don't. Regardless of your political affiliation, your toe starts tapping when you hear something that's good. And I think that's something that could definitely bring people together. I'm hoping that maybe this record does that. Maybe it helps a little bit. Maybe some people get something out of it that makes them think about something a little bit differently. You know, and if that happens, that's cool. If it doesn't, that's fine too.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker, and we're recapping the year in Bloomington Normal Music. Cody Dekoff, as his alter ego Chicago Farmer, is an engaging live performer who's cultivated a loyal following with folk songs and stories about the American heartland, and especially in central Illinois. Though his studio albums have received critical acclaim, Dekoff says fans have asked for an album with the feel of those live shows. The Delavan, Illinois native and now Bloomington resident fulfilled that request with a live double album release during a two-night performance at the Castle Theater in August. It coincided with his 40th birthday celebration. Dekoff joined John Norton in the GLT studio to talk about his strong connection with a live audience. It didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, I spent probably five years just traveling around Illinois and being background music to people. And I was kind of the guy that people would come to tap their foot to and, you know, take shots to and drink beers to. And that was fun. But after a while, I kind of wanted my words to be heard and my and my songs to come through and connect with people. And so I really started to bear down, not only when I was writing the songs, but when I was putting my show together. I wanted it to be something from something special from start to finish that really brought the audience in and had them interact and, you know, kind of a performance instead of just a toe-tapping background sound. And that was my mission. That's what I've been working on ever since.
You mostly play as a solo artist. And as a matter of fact, you have a funny little aside about the band and I-29. Let me play that just a second here, about, okay?
You got it.
The band got pulled over on 29 again. There was an incident. Long story short, it's just gonna be me again tonight.
You mostly play solo. Is this a financial decision, or is it something like you have a warmer connection with the audience when you're solo?
I kind of turned up the amp to 11 a bunch of times with bands in high school and just out of high school. When I moved to Chicago, I really started to bum around the Old Town School of Folk Music and really started getting into John Prine and Steve Goodman and guys like that. And I kind of felt like the songs that I were writing come across just fine by myself. It wasn't really financial, although that does have its perks to, mm-hmm. you know, keep 100% of... Well, after management and booking agent and all that stuff.
Right.
But yeah, it really is the best way for me to express myself, I think, in my words and my art. If you can't really hear my words, it's really kind of pointless.
When I saw you at the Castle Theater last year, you sang the song, or you did the song Dirtiest Uniforms,
uh-huh.
which debuts the whole double
yeah.
album here. And it, is this a new song, or is it the first time you've put it down on an album?
I would say it's not too old. Yeah, when you heard it at the Castle the last time, it was probably one of the first times it was played. So
it's a really neat song.
Thank you. It's really inspired by just hardworking people right here in the Midwest. Who
your mom and dad?
My parents, my grandparents. The baseball part is a little tip of the hat to Ron Santo.
Really?
My favorite baseball player of all time, who, you know, wasn't really maybe the most athletic human being on the planet, but gave us all, you know, every play that he played, and every time he stepped to the plate, and every time he had a ball hit to him, you know.
He was thinking curveball, but he got instead 95 miles an hour right into his head. He hobbled down to first with a lump on his face, and on the very next pitch, he up and stole second base. With greatest speed, he wasn't born, but he had the dirtiest uniform.
Well, you seem to insinuate in the song that you picked up that ethic, that work ethic, that moral ethic, even from Ron Santo, your parents, your grandparents.
I don't come from a really big musical family. I had some family members that played music a little bit, but, you know, my voice is still getting stronger, but... You know, it used to be pretty annoying back in the day. If you think it's kind of high-pitched and annoying now, you should have heard it, you know, 10 years ago. So I wasn't born like a great singer. I wasn't born like a flashy guitar player, but it's things that I just constantly work on because it's what I love to do. And, yeah, I've been inspired to keep working hard at what you love to do, and that's kind of what that song's about. That's kind of what Chicago Farmer's about, really.
With catchiest sound, we weren't born. We've got the dirtiest nice uniforms. Oh, the catchiest songs I don't perform, but I've got the dirtiest uniform.
Do you want your audience to feel something other than just, hey, I had a great time at the show? Are you trying to convey something? Are you trying to even be like a subtle preacher?
There's definitely a spirit, I think, in the songs. And when people get together and sing along with those songs and those songs connect with them, there's a certain spirit in the audience that we capture. I think, you know, Edward David Anderson, also like some solo local guys or performers, they don't have to be solo, but bands too, that really have songs that connect with the locals, I think. You know, when you see him perform and he's singing his songs, you can see the local crowd singing along and getting into the songs. And it's not just because they're grooving, but they're really good songs. And they're really songs that, like, you know, hit you right in the gut and the chest and the heart. And they make you think about life that's going on around you right now, and also helps you forget about life that's going on right now. But, yeah, I think there is definitely a spirit and a local pride going on in the music.
Cody Decoff, a.k.a. Chicago Farmer, on GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. The new album is a double live album, Quarter Past Midnight, live at the Apollo Theater in Peoria. Well, another song you played was the one for your wife. Backseat is the song. You led it in with Benefits.
But I always say, if you're a musician and you find a woman who not only date you but who also marry you and get you things like Benefits, the least you could do is write her a song. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen?
Talk about Kimber. I've never asked you about her.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she married a musician.
She did.
10, 11 years ago now. Did she know what she was getting into?
I think she did, actually. Yeah, I kind of warned her a little bit, and she still jumped right in, and I was...
Well, I've seen the Facebook posts. Everyone looks pretty happy for the most part.
Oh, yeah. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. I was kind of... We actually met here at ISU at a basement concert that we were at, and I didn't really have the guts to ask her out, so... About 6 years went by, and we found ourselves back in Illinois after we both went through a lot of changes. And
6 years?
Yeah.
Did you know right away when you met her that night?
I knew there was something there, but I just didn't have the, you know, I was kind of shy back then. So so I wandered around lonely for many years. And in Chicago, I was kind of, you know, lonesome Chicago cowboy out on the night playing gigs and open mics and stuff, and started to kind of, you know, have a pretty down point there in Chicago for a while. And then she came back into my life, and it's just been bliss ever since. Yeah, I'm a very lucky man.
All my troubles, all my blues, well, they take a backseat when I'm with you. All my friends and my guitars too, yeah, they take a backseat when I'm with you.
This is GLT Sound Ideas, Chicago Farmer. Cody Decoff is in the studio. The new album is a double live album from the Apollo in Peoria. It's called Quarter Past Tonight. You mentioned Edward David Anderson, and you guys play together all the time. You're, you know, best of friends, and you recorded one of his songs on this album, Good to Be.
Sometimes it hurts in a good way.
On my last album, I recorded a John Hartford song, and on this album, I recorded Edward David Anderson song, so two of my favorites.
Why this song?
This is one that Ed and I used to play together a lot. We used to play every Wednesday night at Six Strings, and we used to play in Pekin, Illinois, a place called The High Note for a long time on Tuesdays, and a lot of times at the end of the night we would close out with this song, or we would play it at some point together. So it was kind of our go-to song for a long time, this Backyard Tire Fire classic that he wrote. You know, as a folk singer, I'm kind of up there complaining for, you know, part of my performance quite a bit. But usually at the end of my albums or my songs or my shows, there's a little glimmer of hope, and I think that's what this song really is, you know. Of all the things I just complained about, you know, the politics and the environment and things like that, you know, when you're looking out on it, when it's all said and done, it's good to be here. Either way, make the most of everything.
You know my car's in the shop. I brought it back from the dead. I just don't know when to stop. It's okay, it's alright, I'm alive, and it's good to be.
you and Edward David Anderson have basically solidified the Bloomington Normal music scene, at least the singer-songwriter part of the music scene, right? We've talked about that a couple of times. But when you were getting going, what, 10, 15 years ago, does a 20-year-old today, singer-songwriter, do they have a chance today? Is it still something that's possible as a solo artist like you're doing, a troubadour?
It's taken me about 15 years to get to where I can travel around the Midwest and have a crowd pretty much wherever I go, not like a huge crowd like the Castle every time, but it takes some time. I don't know, you know, Todd Snyder is one of my heroes and John Prine's kind of his hero, so it's kind of this evolution of singer-songwriters and things. And Will, you know, Todd Snyder's putting 500 people in a theater in Cincinnati on a Tuesday night. Will a 20-year-old solo act be able to do that? In the near future, I don't know. I really don't know. I think we just have to appreciate that what we have while we have it. Music will always last. Songs will always last. Will it have a huge following? I don't know. I hope so. I'm hopeful, but there are still like Tuesday. I'm going to this club in Ann Arbor, Michigan, called the Arc. They're a little 300-seat club theater that just kind of focuses on folk music and singer songwriters, and those are around. And so, I would tell the 20-year-old kid to definitely go for it.
I'm here to tell you that I'm the luckiest man in the world. I got an amazing wife, an amazing family. I got some great friends. I got a band that never shows up, but that's okay. Because in this situation, it doesn't matter if you're from a small town or a big city. It doesn't matter if you're from Illinois or Missouri. It doesn't matter if you're white or black or straight or gay or Republican or Democrat. Well, maybe that last part matters to some people, obviously. But it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is when I'm with you, I get a little lost. Points of interest come and cross when I'm with you. Well, the night's on fire, eyes are wide when the road ties. You're so good to me, I'll be good to you. Be up front with me, babe, I'll be up front with you. And then I'll make this promise to you. If you're ever in my backseat, I'll be there too. Ooh, all my troubles, yeah, all these blues, oh, they take a backseat when I'm with you. All my friends and my guitars too, oh, they take a backseat when I'm with you. When I'm with you. When I'm with you.
Cody Dekoff, a.k.a. Chicago Farmer, speaking with GLT's John Norton ahead of his August release of a new live double album. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're revisiting the best musical acts of Central Illinois on this edition of Sound Ideas. Leah Marlene says her debut EP, Arrows, is intended as her opening statement to the world. The Normal Community West Senior performed at Night Shop in downtown Bloomington. She tells GLT's John Norton her debut explains who she is as a person and songwriter, at least right now.
Yes.
The opening song, Arrow, seems to imply that you're doing all of those question asking, or asking questions, right? Let's listen to just a little bit of the song here.
What do I want?
My junior year, and that was kind of like when I was questioning, what am I going to do when I graduate? Like, where am I going? What do I want to do with my life? So there's just a lot of confusion that song was being written out of. So that was just my statement that, like, I don't know exactly where I'm going, but I just got to let my arrow go, and I just got to go for it.
Is it even fair for a 17, 18-year-old to know where they're wanting to be heading in the next whatever? And we've got 40-year-olds who have no idea what they're doing 5 years from
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the song. You don't have to know. You just have to put one step in front of the other and just go for it. 'Cause life's like an arrow, a shot in the dark. Don't know where you will land, but it all starts with your heart. The view may be narrow, but you'll see a way. You gotta pull it back to let it go. You gotta pull it back to let it go.
Leah Marlene is in studio here at GLT. I'm John Norton. This is Sound Ideas. Her debut EP is December 2nd. She'll unveil it at Night Shop in downtown Bloomington, and we're featuring some of the cuts from that album. Let's do How Do You Feel? And here, this is an interesting song.
Yes.
At least in the song, you encounter a man begging for change by the side of the road, but when you offer that change, he instead offers advice.
Saw a man on the side of the road begging for change. Oh. I tried to give him a dollar and he looked at me strange. He said, I don't need money, I'm just taking a stand. Don't you stay quiet, take life in your hands. Now's the time to...
Is this a true story?
No, it's just a metaphor. It's painting a picture of like somebody begging for change as in like money, but they're actually begging for change like in the world. So it's just painting that metaphor of somebody like taking the double meaning of what begging for change means and just twisting it.
How do you feel living in this mad, mad world?
How Do You Feel is the name of the song. It's from the new EP from Leah Marlene. Who are some of the musicians, maybe vocalists, that you are fond of? Someone that you kind of look at and go, I dig that.
My number one vocal inspiration is by far Tori Kelly. Vocally, she's insanely talented. Like, it blows my mind every time I hear her sing. But also, just as a human being, she's just so kind and just such a joyful like person. It's so inspiring in that right. And so overall, just like as an artist and human, like I want to like follow in her footsteps of how she's been able to maintain her career but still be just such an awesome person and like inspire so many people like me.
You spent some time in Nashville this summer, or you have for the past few summers?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What are you learning when you go down to Nashville?
Oh boy.
That's Music City.
Yeah, I'm learning everything. Man, I started going down there spring break of my sophomore year, and I've gone down there probably about 10 times since, which, first of all, I'm very blessed and thankful that I'm able to do that because not everybody has that privilege. But I've just been working with the most amazing people down there and learning so much about the industry. And like, it's just all about connections. And that's been probably the biggest thing that I've taken from my time down there. And it's been great that I've been able to start making those connections now, because the relationships only grow from there.
Well, Nashville now is more than just a country town. These songs that I'm hearing from you, they're not country, but I hear a hint of country in some of these songs. Am I imagining that?
Yeah, I think I would definitely never consider myself a country artist, but I love having like all the real instruments and all like the real production. I don't like having songs without like real guitars and real drums and stuff like that, although that's totally cool too. Just for this album, like, that my picture was just like, you could take these songs and play with a band and they'd sound very similar. And so I think country music, you can find a lot of those real instruments in there. That might be where you're pulling that from.
The Truth has another song on this album called Arrow, and let me play just a little bit of this.
We've got to talk about this, baby. We can only take so much.
There seems to be a little bit of a samba, a little jazzy feel to this record.
Yeah, I wrote this one completely by myself, and I love jazz, like, so much. I have a lot of originals that aren't on this EP that are more of a jazzy sound, and it's definitely something that I'm exploring, just as I'm exploring a lot of different pockets of my sound, but jazz is definitely one that piques my interest. So I'm not like a huge like theory guitar mind behind all the jazz stuff, but whenever I can pull out a few jazz chords, I love to add them into my songs. So this is definitely one of my jazzier originals, and I'm glad that it made the cut for this EP because I wanted to showcase that side of my sound.
But I have no more words to say, 'cause when the truth hits, baby, it's gonna blow. That's why
The Truth is the name of the song from the EP Arrows, Leah Marlene, here on GLT Sound Ideas. One more song. Is Anybody Listening? This, I'm guessing, is going to go back to how we began this whole conversation about your optimism and your idealism about everyone working together. Why can't we live together?
Well, I think...
Or are we here to work out our differences?
Yeah. There are a lot of people trying to do good things in the world, and a lot of people are really making a difference, but sometimes it's easy to get frustrated because sometimes you just don't see the change that you want to see. And like, it's really disheartening to turn on the news and still see all these things happening. And so the song came from a place like of, is anybody listening? Like, is anything actually happening? Because I know it is, but like, it's just hard to see it sometimes. It's hard to have the patience to see things come to light.
When we gonna learn to love? When we gonna learn to live together? Why we gotta just give up? Close our eyes when we can make it better.
What do you think, in light of everything that's going on, how do you view the world, and how do you think younger people can teach older people something?
I think it's easy to get caught up in trying to do big things to make a big difference, but especially for younger people who don't have like huge careers or like huge connections or whatever people think that you need to make a difference, they can show that like all it takes is like loving your neighbor or just making one tiny little step that can just change the world. And if we all take that tiny little step, everything can change. And so for older people looking at the younger people, like, I think it's just a powerful lesson to be reminded of, is that you don't have to go crazy to change the world. You just gotta take it one step at a time and do one kind thing for another person.
It's really up to us, you and me and everybody in between. We're all in this together. Take a walk in your shoes, you walk in mine. Take a walk in your shoes, you walk in mine. Take a walk in your shoes. You and me and everybody in between, we're all in this together. These words we've heard a million times, but we're still not sure. And it makes me wonder,
Normal Community West senior Leah Marlene speaking with GLT's John Norton. Her debut EP is Arrows. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The Twin Cities psychedelic rock band Flaccid called it quits in 2018 after 6 years. They released a final album and did a final show. Founding member Nolan Kelly joined John Norton in the GLT studios to preview the album In and Out. Of the breakup, Kelly said, it is amicable.
And we're all still the best of friends, which is the one thing. I mean, the last thing we'd ever would have wanted is for, you know, the band to end with any hard feelings.
So why is the band calling it quits?
Just between different moves in life. A couple of years ago, drummer moved down to Champaign to, you know, do the family thing. He had a kid and had a good opportunity down there to take over his dad's business, for one thing, but he's been down there, and just between that and different life moves, we're all just kind of going different directions, and we had an opportunity to, you know, end it on one final big note as far as one last album release, combined with, you know, one blowout show to bring everybody back together for at least one proper send-off, so at least we're doing it the right way, you know what I mean, as opposed to just fizzling out of nowhere.
So what you mentioned about the band being best of friends still, and that's the way you wanted to keep it, that sort of answers sort of a question I was heading to. The album here, In and Out, man, it's full of breakup songs.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it is packed full of breakup songs.
Well, I've never been too great at writing happy songs anyway. Usually if I'm happy, I'm out doing something fun, and by the time I end up, you know, feeling a song that I'm writing, it's usually for some mixed emotion, you know.
Well, let's talk about Clean and Wiggle. Right,
yeah.
That's one song I didn't take to be about relationships, more about the band.
Well, funnily enough, it kind of turned out to be, if you look at it that way, about, you know, the band breaking up. But it was written, you know, probably well over a year and a half ago by our bass player, Kyle. Certainly wasn't about the band by any means. But yeah, like anything, the more time goes by, the more you realize that certain songs can be applicable to other things, which is what is great about all music. You know, it'll mean one thing to you at this point in your life, and then the next thing you know, some song takes on a whole new meaning. It can mean anything to anybody, usually.
Time is near, your goals appeared. You don't want out, it's what you're all about. You stop and sing, but you missed your cue. Now you're not quite sure what you need to do. Your batteries are all, and they're all ran out. Wires running all throughout your house. Colors running each and everywhere. You're not quite sure which one needs repair. Oh no, this can't be true. You should have stopped and thinking through. Realize all you had to do was clean.
The Swan Song album is called In and Out. I want to ask you about another song. It's the lead song, the one you wrote, or one of the songs you wrote, called All the Same.
Sure.
This, too, is a breakup song. It could be about a girl, but it could easily be construed about the band. But from what you're telling me, it's not really about the band.
Yeah, yeah. Like most of these songs, it was written quite a while ago.
It's a beautiful song.
This one was actually more recently.
Bittersweet beautiful, but beautiful song.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And it was kind of one of those things that I was shooting to, even though it might have the context of being a, you know, a breakup or kind of downer song. It's got that real happy vibe and melody to it, which is kind of a fun juxtaposition to work with when you're writing tunes. If it's going to be a sad song, it's kind of fun to at least take a stab at trying to make it more of an upbeat and dancey feel, as opposed to, you know, being real minor and sad in nature.
So we're listening to the song All the Same from the album In and Out. You were just talking off the air about the way the song ends, and I want to ask you about that, because you guys are not just about lyrics. I mean, but you guys have jammed. Like, this is this the song that has a 2-minute jam at the end?
No, this one's more of a concise ending. Clean and Wiggle's got a big jam at the end, as well as a couple others. But All the Same, I was real happy with just the chordal nature of the outro itself and where it went to, and pretty much the song in general. I went to some cool chordal places that I hadn't really experimented with before, but the jams, that was something that we really intended to aim for with this album. We really wanted to capture that vibe of the band and what it is, which is such a huge integral part of what we are with this recording experience.
This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton with Nolan Kelly of the band Flaccid. They're playing this weekend at the Castle Theater, and we're talking a little bit about and playing some songs from their final album, In and Up. But before we get to another song, and before I ask you about where you're headed, can we review real quickly? How did you guys start? Was it a spontaneous thing? Was it a conscious thing?
Like the best of things, and this is what I've said to a lot of people about, you know, just the question of what are you going to do after the breakup? What are you going to be in another band? Which is always like, you know, like the last thing you're ever thinking about when you get out of a relationship is, oh, I got to be in another relationship again. But the band started, like any good thing would, just completely organically with having met one person in Nick, and then he had been getting ready to live with Jack at the time. So I met him pretty closely right after that. And from there, it was just a matter of playing with a bunch of different people. And eventually Kyle, who I'd known for almost 10 years at that point, who I grew up with, ended up bringing him in, and never expected it to be something that would just, you know, click out of nowhere. But sure enough, he came and we played just a few tunes or a jam, and it was like, okay, there's something happening here. So we immediately just put it together and started out in basements around town here, and were a big part of the house scene at the time, and slowly moved out into the local bar scene with places like Firehouse, where we played a lot of shows at early on before they stopped having shows, which was awesome. Not that they stopped, but that we were able to play
venue for music.
While. Yeah, it was great. There's really nothing to fill the void in Normal, at least.
Well, when you were going through that phase, Nolan, did you guys have goals?
And looking back on it, we absolutely
fun?
Probably should have, but it was always fun. I mean, we've made it so much farther than any of us ever expected to make it as a band, you know, especially coming from basements, calling yourself Flaccid. You never really know what to expect, but it's definitely gone way above and beyond anything we ever expected of it.
Nolan Kelly with the band Flaccid is our guest in studio. Streets of Paris is another really cool song on this album. This is kind of more of an up-tempo,
happy
song, Nolan.
But also kind of, you know, jazzy and kind of somber.
Very jazzy.
You know,
it kind of has a Parisian feel to
That's kind of what I... That's literally the only reason that I named it that. I've never been to Paris, actually.
Oh, I was going to say, you were probably there, right?
No. Okay. But I thought it made me feel like I was, you know, sitting on the streets of Paris, sipping a tea or what have you. You know what I mean? It just kind of had that vibe, and I kind of just chase that idea. It's kind of unlike most of the other songs or all of the other songs in the album, in that it you know, it didn't stem from what we usually do as far as songwriting, but it I liked it and where it was going, so I just kind of chased it out.
I wanna be here with you. There's nothing that I can do. You wanna be here with me, here on the street.
What are you guys really proud of that you did as a band?
Oh, everything. I mean, like I said, we couldn't have ever imagined getting to the point where we're at now with all the people that have helped build it and been a part of it, all of our friends and fans and everything like that, to be able to even, you know, make albums and music that people care about is probably the biggest thing, and the fact that we've been able to do it together as best friends. I mean, it really couldn't get much better than that.
Wanna be here with
Nolan Kelly of the band Flaccid speaking with GLT's John Norton as the band released its final album in September. And that concludes this year-end episode of the Best Musical Interviews and Features from John Norton this year on Sound Ideas. Discover more local music and hear from artists playing in Central Illinois on the GLT Music Podcast. Find it on NPR One or your favorite podcast app. John Norton says he's looking forward to 2019 and is hoping to hear from the groups Sherwood Forest, Hot Sauce Universe, Wildermore, Matthew Curry, and Southside Cindy. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT Normal. I'm Charlie Schlenker.